hour of the week. And we trust you've had a good week so far. And we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to tune in with us. And tonight, we have got an awesome show planned, I believe. We're going to be talking, especially for the local viewers, we're talking about our tax dollars versus our school system. But even those of you that watch out of county, it's very important. Even you may say, I don't have kids in school, but your tax dollars do. So it's holding people accountable for how they're spending our money. We elect people in offices to manage and to mitigate our school systems and our local governments. And it's time that we start paying attention and asking the right questions about where our money's going. Why do they come to these conclusions, justify spending that money? This is not a personal attack on our local school board or any individual on the school board. I know for a fact that, and I know both the guests I have tonight, because one of them has been on the school board, one's coming on. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy task. And, you know, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made with a group of people, and then trying to make thousands of parents happy is like trying to make everybody happy in church with the air condition. It's impossible, you know. But at any rate, there still has to be a level of transparency. And I believe that we as taxpayers, and especially parents, need to be more involved with the people we're putting in office to keep things transparent so we know exactly what's going on, instead of all of a sudden waking up and going, wait a minute, how did this happen? A lot of times it's because we put people in office and just get quiet. But there's some things going on in our county coming up in the next few years that I believe that if we get started now, we can not be against the board, but help the board in making the right decisions for this county. So to do that, tonight we've got Megan Ullman on, and we had her on previous. She was running for the school board, and thank God she was voted in. So she'll be on this coming up year, right? And then we have Anthony Graves, longtime friend, and he has the Anthony Graves Show on the local 1010 AM and FM 107.3, right?
Right.
How many years you been doing that? Long time. But and you should watch that on Saturdays. It comes on 10:15.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. He talks about a lot of political stuff, a lot of our local governmental stuff, and really informative. So I wanted to get them in, and we're just going to just kind of open this up and talk about what we're facing in this county to keep our taxpayers, you and me, informed on what's going on in our school system. So we'll go ahead and start with Megan, and, you know, you can kind of introduce yourself again, and we'll just get into it and see where it goes.
Sure. Again, I'm Megan Ullman. I will actually be sworn in December.
Right.
So I'll be able to get started. So, but I'm a mom to three boys, and just real quick, got involved in our school system about 4 years ago, right before COVID happened and all those years during. So just learned a lot, and I didn't stop, and that's why I decided to run for school board. So I'm ready to get started.
Awesome. And then, Anthony, you take just a few minutes and introduce yourself to our audience.
Hi. So I was on the school board for 4 years, and I met Megan with a whole bunch of new folks when she was coming. She started coming to the school board meetings because it was right at the beginning of COVID and all the stuff that we were dealing with. So it was pretty interesting. But being on the school board, you have visibility into things that most of the public doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And transparency is a big subject that Megan's talked about forever.
Yeah.
Since she's gotten involved. And it's always been a problem. It's a problem with government. And so I was, you know, proud to be invited here to share a little bit of insight. Some of the information that I have that's not necessarily known to the public, and just help, you know, educate people.
All right. So we'll get started a little bit, Megan, with, you know, one of the big things I know that we just seen our resident in charge is I won't call him president, and everybody knows that. You know, is Title IX. You know, we're just going backwards. You know, but you know, let's get into that a little bit and talk about what are we facing in our county, and what are some things that we can do, you know, for safety for our children.
Yeah. So a lot of people will say, well, what is Title IX? Title IX was originally started in 1972, and it's a federal civil rights law. So we need to understand that first. And basically what it was created to do was to prohibit any kind of discrimination on the basis of sex in education programs and activities. Any school receiving federal funding, they have to comply, because it's educational. Mm-hmm. So, but what Biden has done over the weekend, and I got a list here because it's a good bit, but what he did is he basically changed the wording of sex to gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
So what this does is it redefines sexual harassment. It forces students and teachers to use the preferred pronouns or they face discipline. It requires schools to eliminate all sexual misconduct, and it's going to dissolve protection for accused students who fail to use correct pronouns.
Wow.
And this is America.
Yeah.
This is America. So what this means to you as a parent, so I'm going to give you what, you know, where the research came from, then I'll kind of give you kind of what I feel about it. but what this is going to do is it's going to force schools to allow students to use the bathroom that matches their gender identity, or the school will face discipline. Forces students and teachers to use the preferred pronouns or face discipline. And it requires schools to eliminate all sexual misconduct or face discipline. So you think, well, you know, it's my constitutional right to do this and this and this, and that is true. But what I think we're going to see with our school system is they're already faced with crazy policies.
Mm-hmm.
And the policies, they have to be worded, and they have to go to the lawyer to make sure the lawyer's, you know, making sure the wording's correct. And there's no policy that can protect from this.
Right.
Nothing.
Wow.
So a lot of people were like, well, what's the solution? Well, here's Megan Allman's solution. I am not sworn in.
Right.
This is my mama bear solution.
Yes.
Okay. Daddies.
Yeah.
Go to the school.
Yeah.
And you stand in front of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you say, I dare you to come in with my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the last time you were here, I had even said something about having a vetting process for men, dads, you know, or I don't have a kid in school. Anthony don't. But, you know, Josh, but any of us, be vetted through the school system and volunteer to just walk the hall some, just to be present, you know. And I even talked about some of these things in our Tuesday morning Bible study that we do here. And I talked about Title IX, and we're coming to a place, if I go to a mall, me and my wife go to a mall, and I see, my wife don't even have to be in the restroom, or my daughter, but if I see a man go into the women's restroom, I'm going in too.
Yeah.
How he comes out is totally up to him. But, you know, we've got to start standing up our children, you know, and these are things that, you're going to see it more in the big cities, but we're seeing it here too, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So here's the interesting thing, and this is where you talked about people getting involved or not. Okay, so here's a real scenario,
right?
Because you can have volunteers, but the first time that you have a volunteer that causes any
kind of
trouble, you're gone.
Right.
The principal's going to say you're not welcome back on the property.
Right.
And if you have kids and you want to go to, you know, school events and stuff, you're going to be like, you're not going to be able to go because you're going to be banned.
Mm-hmm.
Or trespass, it would be even worse. So what happens? Megan's going to be on the school board, and what the school board is going to have to do is the school board is going to have to say no.
Yeah.
And there were plenty of chances for this to be dealt with when it comes to discipline and the federal government. But this is going to happen sooner now, because as soon as the kids that want to cause trouble, and there are kids because they're kids. I mean, there's a lot of kids that are causing trouble. They just want attention, and they're not doing it to be. Some of them, their motives are they just want to cause trouble.
Yeah.
But they're not mean spirited. Right. Other kids are mean spirited, right? But you're going to get both that are going to push the system, because now they're going to tell the teacher they want to be called blankety blank. The teacher is going to say, well, I have to do this. What has to happen is that the school system and the school system is going to have to deal with their attorneys, because the attorneys are going to say, don't fight the system, which is nonsense. You get new attorneys if that happens, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The school board needs to get attorneys that are going to fight with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to have to do is fight your attorneys.
Yeah.
Now, the second thing is that you have to say no. You have to have policies that says our teachers are going to call children by their whatever pronouns. Okay. Yeah. Whatever the policy is. So you do that. Somebody's eventually going to file a lawsuit, right? You're going to get a parent of one of these kids that's going to get put up to it.
Yeah.
And what has to happen is, because I'm just taking this all the way to the logical conclusion. Yeah. The logical conclusion is there's going to be a lawsuit. The school system's going to have to pay for that lawsuit. They're going to have to pay the attorneys. That is not cheap.
Right.
So what happens is when they do that, don't be surprised if the same people in the community that want you to fight this are the first ones that are going to be raising Cain when the commissioners say, hey, you're spending $500,000
on a lawsuit
on money that could go to teachers, school bus drivers, this, but now you have a lawsuit. So the same people who are sitting there with a flag, they're waving the flag and they're in church on Sunday and they're saying, by gosh, we got to stand up. The first time they have the opportunity to do it, they're not going to stand up, and they're going to put the people down who are standing up. Megan, to her credit, has been steadfast in speaking up for the right thing. And a lot of people along with Megan. And that's one of the things she's going to have to face. Realize that when you're in and you try to do the right thing, you're going to get it from all sides. You're going to get it from people in the church. You're going to get it from the commissioners. You're going to get it from the newspaper. They're going to start writing articles.
Right.
It's going to happen. So at the end of the day, it's going to take money. People in the community are going to have to support the school system and the school board if they're going to fight it, and it's going to cost money. So just be prepared for that. Yeah. But I think that's something Stanley County should take the lead in, at least in the state of North Carolina.
Something else, too, I think, is we should watch what other counties do.
Or don't do. You're right.
Yeah.
So I know that I bring up Union County all the time, and I always use them as an example. But you know, they set the tone during COVID.
Yeah, they did.
And they had a school board that they called themselves the thin red line or something like that. But it was a core group of people, and it was beautiful because their school board came together with their county commissioners. The county commissioners came together with their health board. And you know, the threat was that the state was going to come in and take over. Well, the state didn't. So with that said, I feel like what we need to do is really watch what other counties do and start paying attention, start banding together. Because, you know, I don't think this is just it.
No.
There's going to be more that's going to be coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, right.
This right here 4 years ago was conspiracy theory. This was never going to happen. And I'm not a tin hat person, but I'm serious. There's so much stuff that's happened that we are now here it is. And this is just the start.
And it's not just that. It's people like myself that has a platform every Sunday with 100 or more members to be in contact with people like y'all. So then we get informed information. Then pastors, we've got to begin to push the fight too. It's not just the school board and people that's been on or community leaders. It's pastors. We've got to be able to tell our people, look, we've got to fight this, because like you said, a lawsuit's inevitable. But there again, the current board in most places, because of their attorneys, if a attorney says it, well, okay, that's what we're going with. They're scared to fight it, but we're kowtowing for less than 1% of our community to have their way when 9 out of 10 of them in a few years won't be that way anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that, like you said, it's that young generation just trying to push as hard as they can to see where they're going to get stopped.
Well, it's like the drag shows in Albemarle, in our local area, for the people that are listening outside of the area. You had yourself, a number of other pastors in the mm-hmm. area, a small number of other pastors.
Yeah.
You had people from Glennie Mission Church go out, you know, to the town council meeting. I mean, there were plenty of seats left. There was plenty of room.
Yeah.
And you know, I just the other day, Columbia, NYU, all these protests that are happening out at Berkeley and all mm-hmm. this stuff. The people on the left will put out numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They will put out numbers. And, you know, people that are listening that attend other churches, they need to hold their pastors accountable.
Right.
Because where were they? They were AWOL. Right. Where were a lot of the members of these other churches who even, they weren't there to support their own pastors.
Yeah.
So this is only, these types of issues are only going to be addressed when everybody comes together. Like Megan said, when the school board, the county commissioners, the health department, when everybody comes together mm-hmm. and they say, no, we're not putting up with this, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're just talking.
Absolutely. And I mean, that was the thing. It was, you know, with the group of pastors I went in with, you know, the majority of those pastors were Baptist. There's a few of us that were Pentecostal. But that was not the place to argue doctrine or you know, denominational issues. Mm-hmm. That was the place where we all come to agreement. And that's how it has to be in the public. I mean, if all three of us sit here for a couple hours, I'm sure by the time we leave, there's going to be a lot of stuff we all don't see eye to eye on. Right. But we find the common ground, and the common ground here is our children.
And I think, too, you know, and I joke, but I don't joke about the whole, you know, daddies.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. protect your daughter, right?
Yeah.
I think what it really is going to boil down to is the church mm-hmm. is going to have to really rally around their leaders. And mm-hmm. I know your church has done that.
Yeah.
It was evident during my whole election. And I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, it's the church is going to have to rally around its leaders, and they're going to mm-hmm. have to pray.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to start praying for our kids in these schools because,
yeah.
you know, if we're having issues, and I think we're going to see it to a degree in our elementary, middle, and high school. I think it's going to be our university campuses, mm-hmm. you know, these college campuses that you're really going to see the impact.
Yeah.
And we've got to pray. We have got to pray that, you know, our country just needs a revival in the spirit to be able to face something like this mm-hmm. and for lives to change to where this is not even an issue. Like, gender identity is no longer an issue. And that's a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to have strong people with strong backbones.
Yeah, and it's what I've said, you know, that's the biggest thing with the church is we will win a battle, and once we win the battle, we go back, and mm-hmm. we're done, battle's over, time to go home, lick our wounds, and rest. Mm-hmm. But we live in a day and time now where the battle started. When we win this hill, we don't rest. You freshen up the troops, and you go to the next mm-hmm. hill.
Right.
We've got to keep going because of the abortion. You know, everybody... Every church, well, no, not every church. There's a lot of churches didn't even celebrate Roe versus Wade being overturned. We did here, but it was like the church as a whole, hey, look what we did. But yet they don't realize in 2023 there was more abortions in the United mm-hmm. States of America
right.
than pre-Roe versus Wade being overturned. We did. We got it out of the federal hands, but the battle, it, mm-hmm. you still, we got to keep pushing. We can't back up because we're still losing ground.
Yeah.
Saying that we won, you know, and it's the same with school systems. And that's why we need to back our school systems, pray for the board members, you know, pray for our county commissioners that God gives them wisdom, pray for our students, you know, and I pray it here that a lot of this stuff that they're taught, if it's unnecessary, which a lot of it is, that it will go in one ear and out the other, and that our children at Glennie Mission will retain the knowledge needed to be an asset in their community, mm-hmm. you know, because why? Because it's the stuff they're wanting to teach in some of this, if we don't pay attention to it, you know,
yeah,
it's ridiculous, you know. But yeah, with Title IX, it's just, yeah. And, you know, I'm hoping maybe in the next election, you know, I'm hoping, we're praying Mark Robinson will get in. That'll be a big step for North Carolina to help give direction for all the counties to go, this is a direction that yeah. the state's moving in.
Well, one thing it's going to take away is the excuse
yeah.
that's been used that when we didn't have a Republican governor,
yeah.
it's like, well, we're just going to have a veto. Well, how many how many bills did they
yeah.
Override?
Yeah.
So the fact that we had a Democrat
yeah.
as here in North Carolina as a governor, that was irrelevant.
We had a supermajority.
When there was a will,
yeah.
we overrode the vetoes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always a distraction
mm-hmm.
that people were using to keep from having to do the right thing.
Yeah.
The will of the people, the voters
yeah.
of North Carolina. But when Mark Robinson, and he's going to win,
yeah.
when he wins, the General Assembly is going to have to step up because
yeah.
the voters are going to hold them accountable. You won't be able to hide.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, hey, pass the bills. He's going to sign it
mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. And the other thing, too, that I think Mark Robinson will do is that if we can get a strong conservative attorney general,
mm-hmm.
because unfortunately, if you look in almost every controversial lawsuit where you had states coming together that were liberal and they mm-hmm. were attacking, you know, some topic or institution, North Carolina was right there with them because our attorney general being liberal
yeah,
and our governor. If we have a conservative attorney general and we have a conservative governor, then it's easier for the local school systems to fight the federal government because the state will come in and back them up
yeah.
and say, wait a second. So it's not all on the Stanley County taxpayer. It's not all on the commissioners. Right. The state will, but right now,
right.
that's why this, you know, the gubernatorial race is so critical.
Important. Yeah.
If Mark Robinson loses, then we're going to have our own Governor Newsom is what we're going to have here in yeah. North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be incredibly difficult to fight the tough fights.
Yeah.
If someone like that's in the governor's mansion.
Yeah. So, but moving on from that, I mean, what we're looking at in our county is, you know, growth. And with growth means that you have to look at either renovating schools or building new schools. You know, years ago, me and Anthony were together fighting to keep Oakborough Elementary open. We won it for temporary. We lost with Ridgecrest. They shut it down. Then they ended up shutting Oakborough down. But then it got reopened as a STEM school, which out of all the schools in our county, from talking to parents, the Oakborough STEM school mm-hmm. is the best ran and the best teachers ever all around. I've not heard any complaints about that STEM school, you know, so kind of my thing is like, okay, if the STEM school is so great, then maybe we need to look at how it's being operated versus what we're doing in other schools,
yeah.
you know, and that's that, you know, I'm not against homeschooling. That should be a choice for people. But I what I don't like is our school systems are in a place where parents are feeling forced to homeschool. It's right. not. It's not a decision. Well, that's just what I want to do. It's I don't have any other choice, mm. you know. So it's like, how can we get in here and create school systems to where parents? It's back to a choice, not a forced choice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally relate to that.
yeah,
because I mean, we were in that position.
Yeah.
My boys went to Oakborough STEM.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think more parents are looking at choice schools
mm-hmm.
Just because they are ran different. They're
yeah.
the structure, the curriculum that they're choosing to do, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The other one of the things that people don't realize is that and we've talked about this a whole bunch, you know, at the end of the day, homeschooling, thank God that that's an option
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. And like Megan was able to do it, and she's been bringing her kids back into the school system. There's been improvements. But here's the issue. Homeschooling is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And the more kids that come out means that there are more parents who are not plugged into the public school system.
Right.
Parents who are paying attention and care. So when you pull them out, and this is why my theory is that that's why they're pushing a lot of parents to actually homeschool their kids. They say they don't want them to, but secretly they want them out because they're the troublemakers.
Right.
Then it's easy to implement all these policies, the curriculums in the public school system.
Yeah.
Now try to get the kids back in.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So that's why the school systems have to take a stand. They have to make sure that they don't lose the school systems now. The fight is now, and over the next couple of years, it's going to be whether or not we win or lose public school. Because we shouldn't have – everybody's paying taxes. You shouldn't have to pull your kids out and homeschool your kids or send them to a charter school to get a good quality education. We're paying for them to get a good education. So why are they not getting a good – you have to look at the policies. Where are the policies coming from? It's the federal government. It's the state government. It's the unfunded mandates. So it's all there.
Yeah.
It just takes, you know, for every Megan, there needs to be 10 other parents that are paying attention.
Right.
And there aren't. There just aren't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But that's going to have to change. And maybe this year is going to be the year that everybody wakes up and starts to get involved.
That's my hope.
Yeah. And I mean that, you know, and I was even guilty of that when my kids was in school. I mean, I went to a few meetings, but I didn't really pay attention to what was going on until they started saying, we're going to shut Oakboro down. Then it was like, oh, wait a minute. I need to, you know, and that was a thing. Even at my, you know, I take the blame. We got involved. We should have been involved when the first phrase come out of a board member's mouth that they're thinking about closing. We should have been involved back here, but we wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, what that point you bring out is great, that the government's doing these things to force parents like you, Megan, to pull your kids out. And it's, you know, the fighters, the ones that are going to go to the board meetings and you know, wave the red flag going, wait a minute, this is not working. They're going to be homeschooling, so they're out of the loop. Fortunately enough, even when you were homeschooling, and I believe that was something God called you to, you still had a passion to be involved, you know, and it takes more parents.
A lot of people will say, why did you run? Why do you still care if your kids? Because, I mean, I have one son that is getting ready to go back into the school system, the early college, and then my two other sons are still homeschooling. But they're like, why do you care? Well, this is still society. Public is still society. This is who my children will have to grow up and work with and interact. But the other thing is not everybody has that opportunity to homeschool. I mean, look at the single moms. Look at grandparents that are raising their grandkids. You can't just not care. My taxes are paying for this, but this is a life. And there's nothing more precious than kids, and they're a gift. And we need to help mold them and help teach them to be participants and live in a world that we all work together and we can, you know, you're not just going to live off a system. We're going to teach you how to work. And Stanley County is beautiful for that because we have all these trades. We have, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, a child can go get their firefighter 1, 2, and 3 before they graduate high school.
Yeah.
And then they can go right into the fire service. We have got to get back into the trades.
Yeah.
So
and that, you know, when I was in high school, you know, and, you know, I took auto mechanics, I took bricklaying, I took cabinet making, I took drafting, I took agriculture, I took electronics. And, you know, as long as me and Anthony have been friends, he can say, I can fix pretty much anything and I'm self-sufficient. Why? Because I didn't, and I'm not knocking college, but I took time to learn trades so that not only could I go out and get a job, but it helps me also at doing things at my house, being self-sufficient. But, you know, a lot of it, well, they need to learn college. But the biggest thing I took away, even though at that age, oh, man, I couldn't wait to get in there and work on a car. I couldn't wait to lay a course of bricks or wire up a you know, something. But I learned how to work with other people and problem solve. And that's what I believe we're seeing taken away from the school system is because now people are not learning in society how to coexist and work together. You know, you come from a different background than me, but yet when we get in there working on that car, we're exactly the same.
Yeah.
And we problem solve working out together, you know, and we're missing that now.
Yeah.
One thing, it's very interesting. The trades are huge. And Mike Rowe, that guy's awesome. He's just absolutely amazing. He's been talking about it for over a decade. The fact of the matter is, try and get a plumber, an electrician, or anyone in the trades now. If you're lucky enough to get them within 72 hours, you know, you're paying a rush fee. But there aren't enough people in the country going into those trades. And the reality is that most of the jobs, for my job, my day job, I talk about AI. I work with AI companies all the time. AI is going to take 75% of the college jobs. It's going to eliminate them. Legal, accounting. I mean, unfortunately, it'll never take politicians' jobs because they're going to create a law.
Yeah.
But 75% of those college jobs are going to be taken over by AI. So what are people going to have to do? The world's going to change. What is also going to change is education is going to change. And even though AI is going to be here, you can't have kids that are uneducated.
Right.
So the point to all that is you still need to educate the kids and they need to understand why the world works the way it works.
Yep.
And the way it should work. Right. And so it's real interesting. But at the end of the day, no matter what they're learning, they need to be in safe schools, in a safe learning environment. You need decent facilities. You need a solid, reliable transportation system.
Yeah.
And that's the obligation, one of the few obligations that the Constitution says.
Yeah.
You have to educate the kids. And so the fact that it's neglected, is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
I will say this, I think we talked about this before the podcast, but one thing, and that way we're not just throwing everybody under the bus.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that our current school board is trying to get textbooks back into the schools. That is a line item that is on the budget that they're trying to get approved, and talking about giving a quality education. I'm really excited about that.
Yep.
Yeah. I watched the work session, and I don't know if we can put that in the link of this, the description, put a link to that work session maybe. It's 2 hours long, and it's mind-numbing. And I'm not saying that to say that the people there were talking about useless stuff, because they were not. It's just when you're on the outside listening in, oh, man. But, there were several things I said, with Dr. Dennis, talking about the textbooks, man, that was awesome. And that was really at the beginning is what made me, I want to hear this. I'm all for technology, but these kids need to learn how to function if this is not there. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I went in a store a while back and their cash register and the internet was down. This girl could not do simple math in her head to give me change. Why? Because we've got so used to this that I can't do anything in my head. So in one sense, we're making people smarter, but yet in reality, we're dumbing people down. So bringing in the books, I think, is phenomenal. Because even though looking back, I didn't like school. But looking back, it's the same now as me reading my Bible. I do a lot of research online. But I love flipping through those pages and finding things for myself that didn't come off of here. I found it.
Yeah.
I done my research, So him talking about that, one of the other things that I really was impressed with was the teacher apprentice or whatever that program, where basically if a child in our county, if I'm correct, decides to be a teacher, the county will pay for their schooling with an agreement that they have to work like 1 or 2 years to pay back, which reasonable.
It's a great idea.
I think that's phenomenal, because now you've got local students that grew up in this county that has a heart for this county getting their education from the county, coming back into this system and working. I think that's great. you know, the problems where I have, and again, this is not an attack on the school board, because that's a job. That's a lot of money. You're talking about parents here, but you know, I listened through that whole work session, and there was some talk, you know, they're doing the renovation at Indy, which that's phenomenal. But, you know, the whole thing about Ridgecrest, open it back up, you know, $10 million. I think that number got pulled out of a pocket or thin air. I really don't think you can adequately, okay, around $10 million. I don't think you can. But you're looking at, even if it was $10 million, and then if you wanted to spend another $10 million to renovate some of Oakboro or wherever, what they're proposing with these new schools, I mean, we're talking millions upon millions. A base elementary school for 800 students is $54 million.
Yeah.
That's not including land, which in that session, we don't have the land. And then if you build a one with bells and whistles, it's $63 million. Mm-hmm. And I'm not against new schools, but at the same time, if we can take the schools we have and put a couple million here and a couple there and get them up to standard, you know, because at the end of the day, a lot of this is coming from taxpayer.
Yeah.
It's coming from taxpayer money, you know.
A lot of people will ask me, you know, how do you feel about this? What do you think about this? And I think new schools are great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have nothing against building a new school. We need new schools in some places. Mm-hmm. I mean, how old's Oakboro? Almost 100 years old?
Oh, yeah.
It's old, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100 years old. So here's the thing. But we got to think about this, and we got to think about all the growth coming in. Growth is good. Mm-hmm. Managed growth is even better.
Mm-hmm.
But we are a couple years away from, if we want to build a new school, we have to have a bond.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to have to be a bond.
Have to.
A bond has to be voted on. 2026 is the next election year that it could be voted on, so that's mm-hmm. 2 years away. And then you're 3 to 4 years from start to finish of a new school. So we're literally talking about five to six years before we can ever cut the ribbon, move these students in.
Mm-hmm.
With the growth that's happening, why not go ahead and open up Ridgecrest? I don't care what you open it up as.
Yeah.
If you want to do a 6-8, if you want to do another choice school, if you want to do a K-8,
mm-hmm.
if you want to do a trade school, I don't care.
Yeah.
Open the building up. Use it as the deed states that as long as the school system is using Ridgecrest,
mm-hmm.
the property,
mm-hmm.
as a school system, it's the schools.
Yeah.
I've read the deed.
Yeah.
I've read the deed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, I don't know everything, but from my understanding, if the deed states that, it just can't be revoked. No. Can it?
No.
There we
no.
go. So,
no.
yeah.
So, just
well, that it, open it's it. The same principle behind. I don't know if some people will know, but when I say Barbie's Field, it's a ball field on the end of Oakboro that Junior Barbie, who's dead and gone now, but lived in his community, he donated that land. The stipulation in that agreement is as long as it's used for children's sports ball, that field can mm-hmm. always stay as is. If it's not, then it goes to mm-hmm. do something. But, you know, that was one thing I heard in that meeting. They're like, well, that deed's 100 years. I don't care if the deed's 1,000 years old. That deed is legal. It's a legal binding document, you know. So as long as you're using it for school, I mean, really, I guess in reality, if the people who owned it was smart, why it was shut down, they could have probably got it back, you know.
Yeah.
But hey, but if it goes back to the family, what are they going to do with the building?
Well, that you know,
they'd either yeah. have to sell it or and I'll be honest with you, or demo it, and they're not going to pay for that cost.
No.
But a business could take that over
yeah,
in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And trust me, they would line up to do it. The county's going to find a use for it if the school system isn't going to use it and the attorneys can work out a deal where the county can take it over. Trust me, they will.
Oh, yeah.
But is it is there a deed written for the county to
look? That's why attorneys exist.
Yeah, they will work through the
The deed is how you start the conversation. How it ends up is based on what the attorneys agree to and the family,
right,
the previous owners agree to. But here's the thing. And everybody, we talked about opening up Ridgecrest years ago before COVID hit. When I was on the board, when Dr. James was the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we had discussed it being an ag focused school. So students would travel there, you know, like midday, and they would take ag classes and things like that. And the cost of that was going to be like $3 or $4 million because you weren't going to have to put a cafeteria back in. There's a whole long story about what happened to the facility. It's criminal what happened to the facility. It was the newest building. We still owed millions of dollars on it. Mm-hmm. And this when it was closed by the administration and the school board that was in charge back then, the fact that they can even show their faces in public, the ones that are left.
Oh, yeah.
It is unbelievable to me. Now I'm gonna calm down because I could go off about that. But it just shows how many people don't actually care.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the day, people do stuff like this all the time and they get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the public lets them get away with it. But Ridgecrest, my thing is, and I know this isn't gonna happen, but even if they were to open it, it still doesn't address the fact that starting 20 years ago,
mm-hmm,
there were numerous studies that were done mm-hmm on the facilities in Stanley County. And at the very first one that was done, I think the total for the repairs that were needed on all of the schools was $50 million.
Wow.
Okay. $50 million. Now, the school system on average would get $3 million mm-hmm a year. Okay. So do the math. And if you started 20 years ago, mm-hmm, how far you would have gotten.
Oh,
and
wow,
that assumed that everything stayed perfect. That assumed that you got the best roof, you got the best HVAC, the mm-hmm best boiler, the best parking lot. And they lasted 20 years. The problem is that Stanley County has always been never enough.
Yeah.
And it's not even been a Band-Aid. And I remember when I was on the school board, even before I was on the school board, when I was going to the meetings like Megan did, the facilities meetings, and the director of the facilities, his name was Todd Bowers. He was awesome.
Yeah.
And every year, and by the way, it's budget season right now. Every year at the budget season, they would make a presentation before the county commissioners. And they would say, here's all the stuff that we have to do. But they always went based on the number the county commissioners, or let's say the county,
mm-hmm,
said, this is what we're going to give you capital expenditures, which is where that money comes from,
right,
separate fund. And so they based their list off of what they were already told they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they needed $50 million, their list said three.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that's all they were getting. So he would prioritize, and he did a phenomenal job. And year after year, they would do $3 million, $3 million, $3 million, $3 million. And it was these roofs and this HVAC. Instead of doing the right thing and taking a look at 20 years ago, what buildings should be torn down, what should be replaced, etc. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying eliminating schools and eliminating community schools or anything like that. I don't like being put in a position where my choices are between bad and bad. That's nonsense.
Right. Yeah.
What is the right thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody's looking at the fact that the school system was neglected for 20 years. The facilities were neglected for mm-hmm 20 years. So right now we have a lot of unappealing choices to choose from. But if we're going to do the right thing,
mm-hmm,
at the end of the day, money's going to have to get spent. And so while Megan mentioned there's going to have to be a bond, and 100%, and you're not building anything without a bond, I'm going to argue you're not repairing anything either without a bond.
Probably not.
And right now the chances of a bond passing in Stanley County are slim to zero.
Yep.
And the reason why was because the last time a bond was approved, the school system lied to the public. And they went and did the exact opposite of what the money was approved for.
There's no trust.
So
yeah,
the trust can be reestablished. And when you get on the board, and now is going to be a perfect time for, and I think that the board's been trying to reestablish trust, but it's not just the board, it's the administration.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have to work together, and the county commissioners are going to have to work. And I'm genuinely an optimist, but I'm also a realist.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to predict right now what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I don't have to be a fortune teller yeah. or a prophet
yeah.
to know what's going to happen. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't. I hope that everybody comes together, because there's plenty of opportunity for this to get derailed. And like you said, if all the stars lined up and we got the money, just like, for example, Indy, it's good. I mean, they just approved the money a week ago.
Yeah.
It's going to take 2 years for them to get that work done.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at new high schools and all that stuff, it's not going to get done for 6 or 7 years. And we're going to have these problems year after year until that gets done.
And we're probably going to have new boards.
Oh, sure.
That are going to squash.
Yeah.
And because you're not guaranteed, just because that bond gets passed doesn't guarantee it that board that comes along in the future right. is going to do.
Or they're going to get the money.
Correct.
Right.
So we have to, I feel like what we're doing right now, trying, and this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion. I feel like we're wasting time talking about consolidating.
Mm-hmm.
Three high schools into one. And yeah. that's just my opinion. But here's the thing. We gotta look at, one, what does the community want? Because this is their
right.
they're the forking out the money.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a survey sent out?
Yeah.
Has there been a survey asking the community what they want? Do you want mega schools? Do you want community schools? We need to educate the public too. Like, I've done a lot of research with mega schools. I know one of our board members, Bill Sorensen, he's very smart. He's been on for a long time, and yeah. You know, he's
he was a teacher for
correct. Yeah, 20, I think
30 years.
I think even in the snap, he made a comment. You know, listen, kids fall through the crack with these mega schools, and that is the truth. You go and you just Google mega schools, and in the early 90s, the research started coming out on how kids would fall through the crack. Mm-hmm. Grades were a little bit lower, and we cannot stand to have any lower grades right now in Stanley County for schools. But that's all besides the point. We have got to be more transparent. We've got to communicate. We got to build the trust.
Yeah.
And the boards that come on after us have got to start doing what's in the best interest of the community and the kids and following through with taxes.
Well, two things real quick. One, this plan, and this, I don't know why this has been reported like this, but here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter what the school board just passed and then their workshop.
Yeah.
Before you close and consolidate schools, and a lot of people have a short memory,
yeah.
you have to do a study.
Yeah.
The old studies do not count as new studies. So there have to be town hall meetings. There has to be a ton of work.
Yeah.
I mean, that just thrown out. They could say, we're going to put schools on the moon.
Yeah.
It literally has the same effect.
Right.
Nothing is going to happen until they put together a comprehensive plan where they lay everything out, and that plan has to be presented to every single area that would be impacted. In this case, it's the entire county.
Yeah.
Because depending upon high school, you know, stuff like that. So that's number one. Number two, when people do get involved, like you said, you know, people, they should do a survey. Like, we did that huge, giant land use survey or whatever the county mm-hmm. did here. And then it was summarily ignored, by the way. But anyhow, but even when that gets done, people have to fund what they want. Not funding something isn't an option.
Right.
It isn't an option. It never was an option, but people like to pretend that it was.
Yeah.
We're now paying the piper for poor management over the last... And the public being disengaged. So the choice isn't, well, do we build two new high schools or would you do this? We're going to be spending money regardless of what it is.
Right.
And are the people in Stanley County willing to make that investment? And that's a word you've used a whole bunch. I agree with it 1,000%. And people, I think, that are looking at this, that love the county and want it to be successful, look at this as an investment. And I'm mm-hmm. confident people in Stanley County will make the investment if they're provided all the information
mm-hmm.
and they're respected and people are honest with them.
Yeah.
And you can have accountability. And if you can have that, I think things will be great, particularly with Charlotte Pike, which is 5 minutes away from us right here.
Yeah.
Being in town. I mean, all the things are lined up for Stanley County to be like one of the hottest counties in the whole
state. That's the thing, you know, as we're bringing this to an end, but one of the comments that was made in the workshop, and there again, I understand where some of this was coming from, but they were talking about each school needs like the drama and theater and auditoriums and all that to be competitive in the world. But nobody said anything about vocation. And there again, you just bring up the pipe foundry. If we had a high school that was teaching CNC machining and lathing, CAD/CAM, those things like that you've been in for years, these kids could come out and be going straight over there working in their making massive money, you know, or learning how to do all the, you know, so.
That's easy to do. And the county is really good. I mean, in the area, they have more CTE classes than Charlotte-Mecklenburg.
Right.
I mean, Stanley County does.
Our community college is great. I mean,
there's always room for improvement. But those are the easier things to solve because that's not that much money to
right.
implement.
Yeah.
But there's the Title IX stuff, the facilities stuff.
Right.
These are all big.
Big issues.
Big tickets, yeah.
But, man, it went by quick. Definitely, we're going to maybe in the fall of the year as this progresses, or maybe once you go on, when we get both of y'all back on, maybe discuss this as information comes out so we can keep people informed. But if you want to say anything in closing.
Real quick, Title IX will start in August of this year, just the FYI. This year.
Coming up school year.
Yes. So that will be in effect. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. This is a big deal. I mean, Jordan Peterson, who obviously nobody knew about until Canada started playing this pronoun stuff. This was warned about the pronoun stuff, the Title IX stuff, the transgenders, the bathrooms. I'm telling you right now, if the school board doesn't take a stand on that and the sports, those two things, locking it down, because that also impacts Title IX of sports too.
Yeah.
And if they don't take a stand, the only way I'll let them off the hook is if the people of Stanley County will not support them taking a stand. And if so, then parents need to seriously consider alternatives for their kids.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is insane. And the churches, if they don't get behind this, if they do not get behind supporting the school board to take a stand, then they need to start turning those churches into schools. The new churches that aren't going to take a stand, turn them into homeschool centers because what are they there for?
Yeah.
If not for this.
Yeah. And this is, you know, this is kind of our Ruth moment, you know, and Naomi, we've been put here for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. This is where the church pastors, if you're watching, you know, I'm going to try to work with a few people and Anthony and you and maybe Jason Phipps, but I want to put together some kind of packet or something that we can send out to the pastors of the churches in our community that they can in turn hand out to their people so that they can be informed. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's going to watch this podcast. Not everybody's going to come to the school board meetings. You know, not everybody's going to watch that long work session, but it's going to take people like us stepping up a little bit more, doing a little more homework and getting some informational stuff together, and we can send it out to the churches. And then, you know, I'm going to send it to you. Now, what you do with it's up to you.
Pay attention to, there's going to be a joint meeting between the school board, and I know you'll be there if you can be there, and the county commissioners about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in early May. I think it's the 8th. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And if you want to educate yourself real quick about what the gaps are.
Yeah.
And this, I think the current school board is doing a really good job.
Yeah.
Of identifying those things and communicating those things, people are going to have to pay attention.
Yep. And that's why, you know, again, I was really impressed with how they worked through that long meeting. I mean, that's a lot of information, a lot of big decisions that is weighing on them. So, you know, we just got to, you know, for those of you watching, we've got to pray for our school boards. We've got to pray for our county commissioners. We've got to pray that they have godly wisdom and that they can make the right decisions that's best for our children, whether it's new schools or renovating. You know, it's the whole issue, what's best for Stanley County. And, you know, at the same time, if you're watching and if, you know, your pastor is not really saying anything, mention this to him. He can find me on social media, reach out to me. I'll get any church any of this information that they need. Just reach out to me, you know. But
by the way, Wes, yeah, one thing real quick. I just,
yeah,
people should reach out to the school board members
and, yeah,
thank them,
yeah,
for broadcasting that,
that
work
was
session,
that was awesome,
because not that's typical, an example of how they are, I think, doing a much better job than boards in the past.
Yeah,
and thank God they did that, because, yeah, now people have more information. So thank, yeah, them, and they'll keep doing that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, even with Dr. Dennis, which I said it was going to be hard for me to call him Dr. Dennis, because, I mean, I grew up with Jared Dennis. We was from kindergarten to graduation, you know. But him coming back into the, I believe he's wanting to do what's right for this county. You know, we may not agree on everything, but, you know, watching that work session, he seems to really want to steer it in the right direction, and he's, you know, he's got to have support and help, you know. But anyway, if y'all have liked this, you know what to do. Hit the like button. If you watched this and didn't like it, hit the dislike button. That's fine. Just let us know you're watching. That's all that matters. But also, guys, do us a favor. If we want people to be informed, all you have to do is hit the share button and share this all over your social media. And that way, all of Stanley County and people watching wherever they are can realize that, hey, we need to get involved with our school system. We as taxpayers need to not always fight against our boards, but let our boards know that we're here to help, and we want to know what's going on so we can help them make these informed decisions. And I believe we'll see a big turnaround. But guys, until next week, God bless you, and we'll see you next Wednesday night.